verses you all know well, Mark 15, verses 33 to 39. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. A loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." We start at noon on that first Good Friday, the halfway point between the time when the Lord Jesus was nailed onto the cross and the cross was put upright, and when at this moment, he uttered the cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's hard for us as ordinary human beings to understand the enormity of the utter forsakenness that he felt, that terrible aloneness. The Lord Jesus Christ's whole identity as a human being had been defined by his closeness to his Heavenly Father. We define ourselves as Christians, don't we? But we also sometimes match that with being someone's child, someone's parent, someone's wife or husband, the job we do, the interests we have. But for Jesus, being the Son of his Father meant everything. Again and again in his earthly ministry, taking himself off and spent time in prayer, he'd once underlined their unity by saying, "He who's seen me has seen the Father." Their union was total. And on the cross, deserted by his closest friends, with the exception of John, abandoned by those whom he'd helped, forsaken by those whom he'd loved, but up to that point sustained by his Father. And suddenly all that changed. He felt utterly bereft, even of God. Of course, with the benefit of hindsight, you and I know exactly why this was the case. But we often forget what an extraordinary shock it must have been. Darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. The grammar of the Greek underlines what a shock it was. There was no sense of it getting dark, no sense of dusk falling. It happened in a moment, like a stab or a thunderbolt. From left field, it was suddenly dark. He was utterly alone, only aware of the weight of human sin being placed upon him, the utter separation that came with that terrible burden. Nothing now sustained him, he must have felt. And so he cried it out as he did. The only time in the Gospels we hear Jesus saying, "My God," addressing his Father in that particular way, rather than the warmth of the normal Father or the intimacy of Abba. "My God, my God." The darkness that had come over the whole land mirrored in some way by the blackness that enveloped his soul at the very deepest level. It was a little under 3 hours later, when the end was very near, that he spoke next. When he said, "I am thirsty." During the time between those two words, Jesus had been confronting those powers that had held all creation captive since the fall. He went down to the very bottom of human misery. But by the time he uttered those words, the battle was almost over. By the time he said, "I am thirsty," he was gathering his strength for that final act of obedience. He'd earlier refused to drink the drugged wine that the wealthy women of Jerusalem had always prepared for those who were crucified, always prepared so they could sink into a drugged stupor. He'd wanted to keep a clear head for the battle that he was to face. Now it's almost over. He wanted to speak, but found that he couldn't. Just manages to croak, "I'm thirsty." Clearly wanted to prepare himself for the last words of triumph, to declare that the victory had been won. They gave him that cheap sour wine that the gospel writers call vinegar. Our Waitrose-inspired translation refers to wine vinegar. I think that's more imaginative than the gospel writers originally used. And they put a sponge to Jesus' mouth. But of course, there was more to it even than that. There always is in the gospels. Jesus had obviously, in those 3 hours, been sustained by the psalm. That cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me, came from Psalm 22. In Psalm 69, we read, "They gave me vinegar to drink." Now in Psalm 63, we find the words, "As a heart longs for flowing streams, So my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" So he says, "I'm thirsty." He'd been in that dry and weary land, a place where there was no refreshment. And he would emerge from it with an overwhelming thirst for his Father. He was homesick to be with him. After the sense of loss, there'd been that overwhelming longing. He'd passed it on to people in the past. They come to know God in him. We know people who still do. We know he gives us that intimacy, allows us to emerge into a new sense of his Father's love, to be desperate for more of an experience of his Spirit. It means when we're in a dry and thirsty land, it's okay to seek for more of God. It's okay to say, "I'm thirsty." This is the air I breathe, and I'm desperate for more of you.